like to meet the meeting to order. All please rise.
Join me in this salute to our flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. Our clerk will now take the roll call.
Councilmember Watson.
Present.
Councilmember Hanson.
Here.
Councilmember Olson.
Here.
Councilmember Ingram.
Here.
Councilmember Mutchler.
Here.
Councilmember Birch.
Here.
Councilmember Goodrich.
Here.
All present accounted for. Thank you, Council. Okay, next up is the public comment period. This is the period where people can come to the podium and speak to the Council 3 minutes each on anything that's not on tonight's agenda. If you want to speak on things that are on the agenda other than the public meeting preliminary plat, you can speak on those later. We will look to the audience for hands up. But for now, anyone that would like to come forward to talk anything that's not on tonight's agenda? Any takers? Any takers? Everybody's excited.
He asked me for an excuse.
Okay. Moving on.
Papa John asked for an excuse. Who? Papa John.
Oh, did he?
He did.
Tell him it's not granted.
There was no excuse for missing
comments. No excuses for public comment. Great. Okay, at 6:01:25, I'm going to close the regular council meeting and go into session of the Transportation Benefit District Board. And this is going to be the Transportation Benefit District Annual Report. Welcome.
Thank you. Good evening, Transportation Benefit District members. My name's Katie. I'm the Public Works Project Manager. Each year we are required by RCW to put out an annual report which lists income from the TBD projects that were completed the previous year, and then what our expected revenues are, and then list future projects. So in your packet you have that report. Basically, in 2014, the TBD generated just over $390,000, and we were able to complete a Barrett Road resurfacing project. We completed most of Church Road. As you know, that's been wintered over, and we'll pave that this spring. Our cash balance at the end of 2014 was just under $140,000, and we expect another $360,000 in revenue. And the three projects we have on the list at this time for 2015 are a couple of projects on Main Street, basically some chip sealing, and then roadway repair and spots, and then 3rd Avenue, Alder to Main Street. So I'll entertain any questions.
Any questions from council? That's the extent of your report?
That's the extent.
Okay. So no, Councilperson Mutchler?
Is that the end of your report? I think you said that was the end of your report.
Yes.
Okay. I was going to move the adoption of the annual report of the TBD.
Second.
Okay. Moving second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Okay, thank you. And so then at 6:03:38, we'll close the TBD board meeting and move back into regular session. Okay, regular meeting, and before you is the consent agenda, Council.
Move to accept the consent agenda.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Councilperson Ingram and seconded by Councilperson Birch. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Okay, next up is a public meeting on the Maria Terrace preliminary plat. And before we get started, our Community Development Director, can you review the concept and rules on a public meeting? A little bit different than a public hearing.
Certainly. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Good evening, Council. We have City Attorney Dan Intraxler here if you have any follow-up questions after I brief you on this. We, as staff, know that recently you've had a number of preliminary plats come before you, and that this is the first time that you've really had preliminary plats come before many of you since you've been on Council. Same as for staff. We had a lot of preliminary plats coming in 2005, 2006, 2007, and then we found that we were processing those, moving them to final plat, but we didn't have a lot of new preliminary plats coming through. So we kind of did what we thought that we had heard the previous planners had done, which was have a public hearing in front of the hearing examiner, followed by a closed record public hearing in front of council. In fact, that's not what our code authorizes us to do, and that's not what state law says, where the city of Ferndale has established a system very appropriately. This is, I think, one of the wiser decisions that this council has made as far as development review, where you've hired a hearing examiner, where he's a professional land use judge, and his job is to hold those public hearings, to get the public comment, to establish the record, and to compare the record, the comments, staff recommendation, and the application against the adopted codes and laws. Then he presents to you his recommendation, where in a lot of ways he's done the hard work, which means that for you, you still have the responsibility as a legislative body, as per our regulations, to determine whether or not you approve the preliminary plat, or if you feel that there's additional information that's not in the record that needs to be on the record, or, and this is really a principal reason for it, to determine whether or not the hearing examiner and staff have applied the regulations that you've adopted correctly. That's really what you're here for. So in some ways, hopefully, in fact, these will be really easy things for you to consider, because that would mean that your staff and the hearing examiner have done a good job of bringing the information that needs to be brought before you. That doesn't mean that you can't say, well, hold it. There's this factor that you haven't considered, or here's a modification on this condition that is appropriate. And the rule of thumb, really, in making that determination is, oh, gosh, you know, is there a really important subject that's not in the record at all? If it's just silent, what you really need to do is you need to say, hearing examiner, you need to establish the record on this before we can consider it. That's one. The other one is if it is in the record, then you can depend on that record and say, well, gosh, it looks like the hearing examiner and staff and the public discussed this issue, but we come at it where we feel that there needs this additional protection on there, or this additional, I guess, clarification maybe on a condition. So we talk about substantive conditions where, unfortunately, we can't really give you good guidance on what that means in all cases. It really does depend on the context of what the record is and what the application is. So I really wish I could say all of this is fair game in all cases and none of this is fair game in all cases. Really can't do that. But, again, we go back and we look at what the record says and whether or not it was discussed, and then we go from there. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. You should feel comfortable in saying, gosh, you know, this is a pretty easy one. You don't need to do the hard work in these cases. It is not a public hearing. We are no longer noticing these preliminary plats as public hearings. So you're not going to have people that come before you saying, well, I was invited, and now you're telling me that I can't speak. And I guess the last thing I'll leave you with is I know that council doesn't want to turn folks away. And so by not inviting them, that's one thing. We want to educate the public that the time to speak is at the hearing examiner meeting, and we're going to do a better job, and we're going to bring it to you next time, getting the public notification out there where it's more clear. But the reason why there aren't two public hearings, and that's state law, is because we don't want to put an applicant through a kind of double jeopardy scenario. We have one public hearing for development review, and that's at hearing examiner. You are kind of checking for quality control in some ways. And if there's something that you don't like, even if we've applied the codes correctly, you need to change the codes. And that's absolutely appropriate. So if there are any questions, and I know that Dannon is here as well, if you have any, I can't answer.
Any questions from Council of Staff? Councilperson Hansen?
Is this a quasi-judicial matter?
It is a quasi-judicial matter, but it is not a quasi-judicial public hearing.
So, I'm just going to reveal it. I was contacted by this. The gentleman is a longtime Ferndale resident. Doesn't make any difference who it is, but had some concerns, and I kept trying to address, sir, you know, the public hearing's already been held, that you should have been there, well, I wasn't notified, it went on and on and on. And finally, he just started blurting out what he was going to tell me. So I've been given information that's not in the record. I have the ability to go ahead and make a informed decision based on the record, not based on this gentleman's concerns. So I will continue to be here, but for everyone's knowledge, I have been contacted in an ex parte manner.
Any other questions of counsel? Councilperson Watson?
I'm trying to understand, too, because we're going to see all these preliminary plats before they have the civil drawings. And so there's been concern on council about where they're putting the storm ponds and how that's doing it. But I just want to make sure I understand, we're not going to see those when we approve the preliminary plats. We won't see where they're going to put, necessarily where they're going to put the pond, or whether people will see it from the road. Or
response from staff?
That is correct. You will see these subdivisions again when the infrastructure is installed. Two responses on that. One is we don't have regulations that prohibit the stormwater ponds visible from the road, and I know that that's a specific example. That's come up repeatedly. And that's probably something that you want to consider putting into our standards, or to say, you know, they shall not be there unless there's really no other location. So again, I feel that that is more a regulatory thing, where if council were to say you must screen this or you must do some other things, council might not actually be able to do that because there's nothing in the code that says that. The other thing, with regard to the civil drawings, I absolutely understand that there's somewhat of a leap of faith on the part of the council to say, gosh, we don't know exactly what's going to happen with these civil drawings, and so we're taking a risk. Again, the regulatory changes are one thing. The other thing is to understand from the applicant's perspective, and I say applicant instead of developer intentionally, because developer has kind of some negative connotations sometimes. Through this process that the applicant has gone through, the city has attached, I think in this case, there are a couple of dozen conditions, and there will be additional conditions placed on them through the review of the civils. But that has slowly reduced the scope of where they can or cannot locate things. And so it's a kind of a chicken and the egg thing, where they had, before we went through this preliminary plat process, 100% of this 3.5-acre property that they could put stuff. Now they really only probably have 10% of it where they can put stuff. And so
stuff, you mean
the infrastructure and other things. So through that, they now know the box where they can have their designers really start looking at it. So it is that chicken and the egg, where they could have come out and done a full civil engineering and then find out that we would kill it within the first 10 seconds because of a condition. Or we can go through here and know that they need to provide that technical engineering basis to show that it can work, and that hopefully we have the regulations that say, here are our regulations, and if the technical works, and if you comply with these, then the city's good to go. Okay.
Councilperson Mutchler, and then Councilperson Goodrich.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And Mr. Burnett, you pretty much answered half my question. I think in committee, this is apart from Maria Terrace, the concern about screening as a topic to come up in the future. The other one was the ownership of those vaults, ponds. Big questions about that because of the maintenance issues. So I'm hoping, again, that council will share the concerns of the committee that those could be on the docket sometime in the future.
And I can say that is one of the goals of staff. We're going to talk to you about the low-impact development process that we're going to need to go through. And if you can remind me, I'll talk about that a little bit comments. But since we are a planning team, my goal is only to answer 50% of your questions because I think Haley can answer the other 50% when she presents.
Great. Not yet. Councilperson Goodrich?
Mine kind of goes along with John's, too, is do we know if there's a homeowners association at this time with these properties, or does that come later? Because I know that was an issue, again, with the ponds and stuff and maintenance, and, you know, that a lot of homeowners associations start out good, but then over years they melt away, and then who's going to be the responsible party and stuff? Is that?
Per our code, they are required to establish a homeowners association that will be responsible for the shared maintenance of the private infrastructure. So they will have a homeowners association. I believe that in this instance, the only thing that that homeowners association would be collectively responsible for is the stormwater vault. So the applicant will, with your permission, have the ability to answer questions to clarify some of these issues. The larger homeowner association discussion needs to happen, but is probably separate from this.
So that's what I thought. And I know when we talked about in committee that the streets were going to be Ferndale streets and not maintain, you know, it's not a private street. So that's why I was wondering if there was, can you do a development without a homeowners association, or is it out a mandatory thing now? Or
right now, our code says that there shall be a homeowners association, and all of the subdivisions that we've processed needed one because there's a private infrastructure. Now, if there was a subdivision that did not have any private infrastructure, perhaps that would be a variance or something else, but we haven't needed to cross that threshold yet.
Okay. Well, it is interesting is my question was, what if council attended a hearing examiner meeting? Because they're technically open to the public.
Are we allowed?
Well, that's what I asked. I said, but then
my concern was it might be ex parte communication related to the issue, but I'm the better safe than sorry guy.
No, I mean, I'd say you could attend it. It's open to the public. The issue is the hearing examiner still is going to be bound by your regulations. Mm-hmm. So even if all of you attended and said we want to see, you know, something painted blue, and if it's not in the code, he can't do it. So
but it's still a public meeting.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Okay.
It's on the record.
So while we're on the record, Mr. Community Development Director, when will you be bringing new ideas or concepts in terms of expanding our public outreach on this subject?
I think we're scheduled for the next meeting, and, okay. And we already have some ideas that we expect to go forward with.
Next committee? You mean like next week committee?
Yes.
Oh, excellent.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great. Okay, any other questions of staff? Councilperson Goodrich?
I'd like to make a motion to accept.
No.
What?
We haven't had
staff. Oh, I thought we already did. Oh, nope. I'm sorry.
You talked for 20 minutes, but now it's Haley's turn.
All right. Excuse me. Come back to me later.
Hold it.
Okay, so that's it for other questions from council, so we can have Haley do phase two here.
Yeah.
All right. Welcome,
sorry.
Haley.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Haley Miller is district planner. So I'll just touch on the main points of this, and if anybody needs additional information, I'm happy to go into more detail. So like Mr. Burnett said earlier, this is a preliminary plat application for a 17-lot subdivision, and it's located on the east side of Molloy Avenue in the 5,000 block of Ferndale. And this property slopes down toward the east and overlooks the ball fields and the high school. Staff believes that this proposal is pretty straightforward. There's an existing house on the property, and previously back in 2006, a development of 13 lots was applied for, and that project did not go through, and the applicant last year applied to take advantage of the new lot averaging requirements that were adopted last year. So they are now proposing 17 lots on that 3.55-acre property to surround that existing house. Along with this application, they've applied for three variance requests, and they're mostly related to the somewhat irregular shape of this lot. There's an existing panhandle that goes from west to east. It's a narrow entry, so they've applied to vary from the code by reducing the right-of-way width and then also reducing the turning radius into the development, and then applying for the location of a boundary street, which is already there technically because of the properties to the south and to the north. It meets the zoning requirements, and there's no environmental features or critical areas on this site. and they will be required to construct standard three-quarter street improvements along Malloy and dedicate right-of-way to the city. And the water and sewer connections are available and will be reviewed during the civil plan review process. And they will be required to install landscaping along the public right-of-way. And staff has reviewed the proposal, and we presented this to the hearing examiner along to members of the public at the meeting and went into great detail about this project and answered the public's questions related to storm and landscaping and density at that meeting. So we believe that it meets the preliminary plat and plat variance approval criteria for this project. There were two major issues that came up, not major issues, just issues that came up during the process. And one was related to the steep slopes of the project. This site slopes has grades from 3% to 30% that go from west to east, so it's a very steep site. And Whatcom County Fire District 7 had some major concerns over the slopes, and we discussed with the fire chief, and we've conditioned it as such that the applicant will be required to meet the fire district standards and meet the international fire code, so the fire chief will have a chance to review the civil plans and condition it when that point comes. And the second issue was related to storm. And I know that during council committee, we had brought the proposal to you, and the storm vault was located in the city's right-of-way, and council was interested in discussing that further. And since committee, the applicant has revised the location of the storm vault. And instead of it being located in the city's right-of-way, it's now located between four lots on a shared access easement. It's between lots 11, 12, and 13, 14. And so we believe that that would resolve most of what we talked about last week. But also knowing that civil plans could change and the location after they run the stormwater models could, in fact, go back to locating in the center of the right-of-way. Staff is proposing to add a condition kind of along the lines of what we talked about in committee that if they do move the vault back into the right-of-way, that the applicant and city would be required to discuss the maintenance responsibilities and the anticipated costs of that vault prior to final plat approval. So we would bring that back to you at final plat and at least initiate the discussions at that time. And then also another issue was brought up that wasn't on the record. The French drain was brought up, that there could be a French drain that's located on the east side of the property. And so we're proposing to add a condition that the applicant will work with the city to ensure that it will either be kept in place or relocated such that its functions will not diminish beyond the existing functions of it. So I can answer questions if you guys would like more details on anything. Ultimately, staff and examiner have recommended approval of this subject.
Questions of staff? Councilperson Ingram was first.
I'm just kind of an orientational guy. Just for my own information, what's the closest cross street?
Malloy Avenue and what's north of it?
Hillside.
Closest would be Seamount.
I think Seamount
would be closest.
It's Diane Court is just south of it.
Well, yeah, Diane Court and then Seamount. So
yeah, it's 600 feet north of Seamount and Malloy intersection.
Cross from Hillside.
Gotta get up.
No, I understand. Yeah. Okay. That's it. Councilperson Watson.
I was just curious on the lots that are being on these slopes. Are they going to bring in fill, or how are they going to deal with the slopes, especially lot six?
They'll be required to bring in fill and meet the grade for the fire district and then building code requirements, too, for when they bring the houses in.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes. Any other questions of staff? No? Mm-hmm. Thank you. No. Good job.
Thanks.
Okay. Council. Do you have a question?
Yes, I have a question. The two additional conditions, are they already in here, or I don't remember seeing those? She just talked about
them. They're not in there. We just brought them today. And I have one listed on the back of that map that you have.
There's one on the back.
That's the one related to the stone vault. And then the French drain condition, I haven't actually brought it in writing. But we were planning to add that to conditions of approval.
If council approves what you've given us, we'll be approving those two as well. Okay.
I would say as a recommendation, probably the best way to do that, cleanest, should council want to go in that direction, it would probably be to move to approve the plat as presented by staff this evening. And they will ensure that all of those are captured.
Councilperson Hansen?
I move to accept the plat as presented by staff.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded by Councilperson Mutchler. So Speaker of the motion would speak first. Do you have any discussion on this? No? Okay, any other discussion? Okay,
no.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Okay, next up is a council resolution on the Metropolitan Parks District ballot measure.
Thank you, Council. Before you this evening is a resolution that would provide for sending a ballot measure to the Whatcom County Auditor's Office to place on the November ballot.
Something we said?
Wait, why don't you stop and give it a...
Well, we can.
Everybody's
you can clear a room, Sam.
All right.
Sam starts to talk, and they all run out.
So quickly, I didn't. There's people making noise. I have small children. I'm really good at tuning things out.
Thank you. Thank you for the pause.
Yeah, my apologies, Council. So, again, before you is a resolution that would send a ballot measure to the Auditor's Office for the voters of the City of Ferndale to consider the adoption of a Metropolitan Parks District. It would be the city boundaries of the City of Ferndale, and it would be the City Council acting ex officio. This is similar to the way the Council acts now, as we saw this evening, as the Transportation Benefit District Board of Directors. That's pretty much it. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Councilperson Ingram?
When, at what point in the process, Sam, do we set the proposed tax rate?
The tax rate officially would be set after the Metropolitan Parks District is created, and the board. Then there would be an official board of directors that would adopt that. A staff recommendation would be that the City Council adopt a resolution stating what the intended tax measure would be or tax rate would be. I say that because the should voters approve the Metropolitan Parks District in November, it comes into creation immediately upon election certification, so by the end of November, meaning that this City Council would be the Board of Directors ex officio, the Parks Board Commissioners ex officio for the last two meetings of this year. So you seven, if voters say yes this year, you seven would adopt that rate. So it's probably if that makes you more comfortable with, announcing an intended rate to the public.
Yeah, I think
I have seen that in other jurisdictions.
I think personally it's imperative that we tell the public what we intend to do. And because I don't want to beat up on school districts, but the voters seem to don't like blank checks.
That was an issue in the recent City of Seattle Metropolitan Parks District. And it was interesting reading the opponents where the council had said, or their parks district had said, we intend to run this rate. And the opponents said, yes, but nothing says you can't change it right at the last minute. And they kept saying, that's true. But so let's make that clear is there's nothing that says you can make a statement tonight or whenever to say this is the rate we intend. You're making it official in that time, but in the Seattle race, it wasn't a giant factor, but it kept coming up going, well, they can change the rate.
Is there no way that we could pass a binding resolution?
No. Mm-hmm. Councilor Person Goodrich?
Going along with that, if it gets approved by the voters in November, we become the commissioners on, December, does the tax go into effect in 2016, or does it have to wait another year before it actually, we would see the money?
We have to wait a year.
Yeah, because when did they set the levies?
You got to set the levy by the end of November.
Yeah.
So I think we would, if adopted, you can adopt the rate, but we won't even start collecting it until the following year.
When is the election certified, though? If we certified the election before?
I believe it's 18 days after the election.
So you could conceivably meet the deadline.
You can have a special meeting to adopt it. In November.
Councilperson Hanson?
I would suggest that we have a special meeting of just the Parks Board, or the Commission, as soon as the election is certified, we're going to know on election night, we hope, whether it's going to pass or not. As soon as the election is certified, to establish the amount, some other things that have to get established, therefore you would be able to hand that to the treasurer by the end of November. Mm-hmm. If it's approved, people want it. Why not go right away? That's just a suggestion. I think we can do that. We can get it in so it's in 2016.
Councilperson Goodrich?
Also another little suggestion, and when it comes time to do the discussion on the rate, we do maybe a couple of workshops or something so we're not in regular council time to discuss the rates, and then the Parks Board could bring in their list of projects or dollar amounts, and we can have a good discussion on why we set the rate at 25, 50, or 75, and have the supporting documents there, and just doing like we've done in the past of pulling things out of the air and say, well, that sounds good, or I'm comfortable with that.
Not pull things out of the air. We take them from the slush fund.
Oh. That response.
Thank you.
Honorary.
Thank you, Mayor.
Yeah, so what we discussed in committee and what staff recommend is that we work now to create a Parks Capital Improvement Program that spells out probably a five-year period for the various projects, whether that be a skate park, a dog park, fenced-in dog park, off-leash, bathrooms at Van Riott, bathrooms at Phillips 66, Star Park, really outline that entire capital improvement program just as we do for water, sewer, and stormwater, as well as our other facilities. And place that on our website as well so that the public has an opportunity to see that. So what we're doing now is we are developing that program now. It will be taken to the PRTAB, Parks, Recreation, Trails Advisory Board, for review, and then they would recommend adoption of that to council. The way we're developing that is based on, obviously, feedback we've heard for many years from the community on a variety of projects, the city's Parks Master Plan, which is adopted in our comprehensive plan and outlines the next 20 years of our vision for our parks system, as well as a very robust audit from the Parks, Recreation, Trails Advisory Board about many maintenance needs, kind of smaller projects needed inside of our existing parks. So hopefully we'll be able to put that together very quickly and bring that to PRTAB, and then back to you quickly so we can adopt it and to help inform voters prior to a decision.
Councilperson Watson, then Ingram, then Mutchler.
Is PRTAB going to be supporting this resolution or just the idea of doing it within the city boundaries?
They're not meeting this month because their director's out of town, so I'm not going to speak for them.
Okay. I wasn't sure if they had said something to you. Thank you.
Councilperson Ingram?
Well, that was kind of along the lines of what I was going to ask. I would really hope that they do come on board. I would just, as one member of the ex officio governing board, if this does pass, I cannot imagine doing my job without their advisory. I mean, they have put so much work into this. To see them step away would just break my heart. I cannot visualize us doing a proper job without the Parks, Recreation, and Trails Advisory Board still in full operation, because they are the ones with boots on the ground out there in the parks and have done these marvelous surveys, and I just hope we can keep them around.
Well, in any regard, it doesn't mean that the Parks Board is done. I mean, members come and go as they wish, and I think I don't think we've ever had too many problems filling spots on the Parks Board, and with this issue coming up, I think you'd have more. Again, as we've talked before, it's been frustrating for your present Parks Board because they meet with lots of ideas and they go nowhere. So this would give them, or anyone that has interest in parks, a glimmer of hope for the future, which is what it's all about. Councilperson Mutchler?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Taylor. I had just one question. The mill rate, does RCW require that it's just between that range, 25 cents, 75 cents, or those are just hypothetical? What is the possible range?
Yeah, so you say mill rate for the the common folk like me, the property tax levy rate.
Yeah. Which is the amount for $1,000 assessment.
Yeah, the way it works under the RCW is there's two different property tax levies that the Parks District Board of Commissioners could levy. One is up to 25 cents, and the other is up to 50 cents, and then, not that I really want to get into it, but then they would be combined for the purposes of pro-rationing, which is where we are required to make sure that all property tax levies within certain taxing jurisdictions don't go above $5.90 per thousand.
So the real simple question would be, when the council meets in November, the board, the new board, Parks Board, for us as a city, what is the range, possible range then?
Up to 75 cents.
Up to anything, up to 75 cents.
Yeah.
But not, you don't do a minimum of 25, you can go 5 cents.
You could.
Okay.
And then once you do that, you're locked in. And so, you know, we'll definitely want to have a very robust conversation about what the different collection rates would be, what pro-rationing would mean, because even though we could go up to 75, we might not necessarily want to, or the council might not want to, based on the fact that you're not the most junior taxing district now in the city of Ferndale. That would be the fire district, ironically. Mm-hmm. I hope that we can have those conversations very soon. Again, so we can get all this on the website for folks to help make sure that they're educated when they go into the election.
And ironically, didn't joining the fire district, which we are doing now, we're in the process of doing based on the election last week, make it harder to go a higher mill rate? Is that an unintended consequence of that?
Probably, no. We've already received the numbers, not including the fire district from the assessor's office, where we have a substantial amount of room left in our levy rate. What we're going to be doing here soon, though, is reducing our levy rate further because we told the public we would be reducing our property tax levy rate when we come into the fire district. Mm. That's going to provide even more room in our levy rate. So the assessor himself was not really concerned that this is ever going to be an issue. But I will say, for full disclosure, that the fire chief is always a person who wants to make sure that we are prepared for the worst situation. And, you know, he did say, well, I don't think it will ever happen. It could happen. And he's lived through it before, and he just wants us all to be aware of the potential for those types of things to happen.
Thank you.
Councilperson Hansen?
I move we pass the resolution placing the Metropolitan Parks District on the November ballot.
Second.
Okay, moved and seconded by Councilperson Ingram. So, maker of the motion can speak first. No? Okay, Councilperson Mutchler?
Well, I will be voting no tonight. I just want to explain why. I mentioned 2 months ago that though I voted for staff to bring information and resolution to us, I had some hesitations then, and I'll just quickly go through them now. I think that council should adopt its commitment on that mill rate before we send this to the voters. I think that we should make that decision before we approve this. Because if it's 75 cents, that's $200 a year on a typical home. I'm concerned about a couple other things coming up. I think Councilmember rightly mentioned these things earlier in an earlier meeting, the jail coming up, I think in August, the school district's going to bring something to us. But I think my biggest concern is, unlike a lot of things that we've sent to the voters, three things we've sent to the voters in the last couple of years, the TBD, the library, and the street gas tax, I'm just wondering where the support is on this. All those things had constituents that paid for signs, wrote letters to the editor, stood on the bridge, waited for signs, and you indicated, Mr. Mayor, that you're uncertain of the Parks Board's commitment to this. I would feel more comfortable doing this, and I don't think there's a time issue here. I don't think we have to do this tonight. If I knew the Parks Board wanted to see this happen, and we're willing, or some Parks Board, maybe a new Parks Board, work this thing. So I'm concerned about its chances of success based on, I'm not sure who's pushing this and going to support it. So I will not be voting in favor of this tonight.
Did you want a staff response or no?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm just here for questioning.
Yeah. Any other discussion? Councilperson Watson?
I have been speaking against this from the beginning. I am worried about all the other commitments that we're going to be asking people to give us. I am going to support it tonight only because I want the voters to decide at this point. I think they'll have all the information they need, and we will. I do want to have a very lengthy discussion, though, about what kind of amount we're going to choose. But I'm willing to support it, and we'll let the voters decide what they want to do.
Any further discussion? Okay, on the motion before... Councilor Smitzer?
I'll just make a brief. I hope all of us will find a way to reach out to and build some bridges with the Parks Board. They have expressed to me, some of the members, not as much concern about the content of council's decision a couple of weeks ago, but kind of some of the decorum and the way it was done. And I would like to encourage all of us, not one or two people, all of us, just to reach out to them, regardless of my vote tonight, but to ask them for their support and to find a way to do that. I think that would be very important.
I can promise you that there will be a healing session.
Thank you, Mr.
Okay, any further discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
Okay, motion carries 6-1 with Councilperson Muxler voting in dissent.
Thank you, Council.
And we will bring the resolution on rates as quickly as possible after that discussion, because that needs to occur pretty soon. That was kind of essential to the Seattle Metropolitan Parks District passing. Even though it wasn't binding until the actual election, it was important to say, no, this is what we intend to do. And I think sometimes voters, you know, have to establish a certain amount of trust.
Will that be a public hearing as well? I mean, because people can, that'll be their chance to come talk to us about the rates. Or, I mean, not an official public hearing, but people will have a chance.
Yeah, we always invite everyone to speak
okay.
A public comment during each agenda item. We wouldn't do a
I know, but hearing. I'm just making sure that people will know that that's their chance.
Absolutely. And we've already been having some discussions on the Ferndale neighborhood.
I've been listening.
I didn't want to get in the fray here, but people are very excited at least about the improvements themselves.
Apparently dogs need some place to work
I
out.
I really want dog park. They haven't necessarily said they are in support of this revenue stream for it. They obviously want the projects, and so I think it's good that council's given them an opportunity to have their say on if this is the right revenue stream for them. So our job, I think, is to educate them on how are we spending parks money now, and what would this do for them. You know, the intent is to supplement what we have, not supplant it.
If you look at the success of the Seattle one, and this, you know, we're not the only one, most of them had not a giantly detailed list, but say, this is where we intend to spend that money. They didn't have exact dollar amounts because they knew that would change over the years, but they said it would go to these specific projects. So that's what I mean. I don't think we need exact dollar amounts for projects because that will change as projects move along. But I think when the citizens see that, then they'll make a decision. So we'll go to Councilperson Ingram and then Councilperson Muxler again.
Well, I think this is an opportunity to have one of our WIHU meetings where we get to conference room over at WIHU and have some cookies and some lemonade and just have things laid out on the table showing what we're going to do. Maybe post notices of that meeting around on one of our little green board sign things at each park. Because maybe the kids will even go home and tell their parents, hey, they're having a park meeting. Get more than the usual 11 regular
turnouts. I was tremendously pleased, like Sam saw, that how many people just jumped on it right away. And for, you know, the Facebook and social media is just such a strong thing. And yeah, I was amazed. It's like dogs are more popular than pools by a pretty large margin. So that's okay.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a pool for dogs instead.
Double dome dog.
Yes, you are correct, and that will be the way that we win. Councilperson Muxler?
That was good. I just wanted to thank our assistant administrator, Sam Taylor. I know you put a lot of work into this and kind of wondered where this was going and such, and I appreciate that, and also the management of the social media on this topic. But you've done all this research. I'm just curious, what is the track record of elections across the state when this is coming for voters? I'm sure you have an idea how these have gone.
There are a lot of these. Yeah, they are very popular, and what I've seen is the reason why they're adopted is because those folks have a definitive plan for what they're going to use them for. I see a lot of them that are joint city-county ones for places that are much more smooshed together and largely for aquatic centers that sometimes already existed and they couldn't fund them anymore because they're very expensive. They are kind of money pits. And so they were kind of working to maybe separate them out from their general funds, and that was the revenue stream to do it. So
And they are, by and large, passing? Is that what you know?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Thank you.
There's at least 20. If you go on the MRSC's website, there's at least 20. Many of them are joint bodies.
Okay. Moving on. So what's the
We have a goal for that agenda. Mayor report.
Yeah. Okay, mayor reports. I don't know if maybe some of you students need to know, but this is Teen Dating Violence Month. So I spoke this morning at Teen Dating Anti-Violence Month.
That's a little bit better. Thank you.
Awareness Month. I spoke at Horizon this morning to a bunch of very nice young students, and I'll speak at Vista tomorrow. So, but some great stuff going on. They had a great skit that was just outstanding that you hope kind of got the idea. And we have some students that promised to change the direction of that here in Ferndale. So I have faith in that. So council reports. Councilperson everybody has some. I'll just go down the line. We'll do it something new. We'll just go right on down the line. Everybody gets to speak. Councilperson Watson.
I'm going to be at the AAWC Action Days next couple of days. Staff gave me a lot of good information to share with our legislature. I'm going to meet with Representative Bies, Van Warven, and Senator Erickson.
Councilperson Hansen.
An update on the WTA changes in Ferndale that are going to take place probably in June or July. There were lots of suggestions on how we should service City Hall and and everyone looks at Main Street and says, well, you got two bus pullouts there, just run the bus up and down Main Street. It's not quite that simple. In order to run the bus westbound on Main Street, we would need to eliminate the jog that goes up Vista, turns left on Washington Street, and comes back over to the first stop on Main Street, which is there at the police station. The third busiest stop in the entire Ferndale skiing is at the coffee shop at Vista on the bus that's coming, that's outbound, that's coming in to run the circular route. It has 25 passengers a day that board or offload at that stop. And it's no secret, it's because of the high school. It's a lot of high school students use that stop to go home. They can skip the bus, the school bus, if you will, come over and take the WTA bus, and it will take them somewhere in the Church Thornton area. So it was decided at the WTA committee meeting. We have a strategic plan at WTA that's starting right away. The consultant's been hired. It will lay out the next 10 years of WTA. It was during the last strategic plan that they took away the double circulator in Ferndale because it didn't prove productive. So things will change. We know things are going to change. And whether or not Main Street has a bus running up and down, it will be included in that strategic plan. For now, it will not. What's going to happen is the bus will continue to run the Vista to Washington. Everything will remain the same on the what they call the outbound bus, because it's outbound from Bellingham. And it will run up, but the change will happen at Ace Hardware as that bus comes back down the hill. It's going to turn right on Vista, or excuse me, on 4th, and go through the light at City Hall, and there will be a bus stop established somewhere in the parking lot area on the right-hand side as that bus. So the people that want to go to the library will have two choices. They can get off the bus there and walk over to the library. Then if they want to take the bus back home, they're going to have to walk up to Ace Hardware. There is a bus stop across the street from Ace Hardware on the outbound bus. So the library will be served one way. It's technically a block away. That's fairly close to calling it service both ways. And I know that there were people, a lot of you contacted me about this. A lot of staff has contacted me about this. I went along with this. Based on that one stop, 25 on and off, the police station has the most, and I believe it's the stop over by Hagen's that has, that's not counting, of course, the bus station at the WTA station in terms of the on and off there. But of that circulator that goes through town, it's the third busiest. And to eliminate that just was really hard for me to justify.
Thank you. Councilperson Olson?
He used all my time. Let's get going.
Councilperson Ingram?
I agree with you.
Councilperson Messler?
I have a couple of quick things. First of all, I just want to quickly apologize to Council. I listened to the last meeting and took a shot at a couple of my colleagues with a snide remark regarding the time cards, and I apologize to them personally, but I apologize to Council. I was not in good taste to, especially when you're on the prevailing side, to take a shot at the other side. Secondly, as you know, I'm on the Charter Review Commission, and I think this next meeting might be worth attending. The topic and the location. This coming Monday night, we're meeting at the Lummi Tribal Administration Center down there, and it's not hard to find, but it takes a little effort. I think the topics would be robust and interesting. One of the amendments that would be discussed is the idea of not allowing the county to fund any nonprofits. All I wanted was up and down a vote here. That's a little more radical for me, but that'll be interesting. An amendment to add a statement respecting cultures and diversity will be debated, and then the district-only issue will be debated. So it might be a good one to attend. The tribe has invited us to come out, and that's at 6:30. The very last thing is I want to introduce to you, to my council members and staff, probably the smartest guy in Ferndale, certainly the wisest, certainly the guy with the best taste anywhere, is my son-in-law, Matt Willis, is here. Very shy guy, but he's with some of his friends tonight to see what their pastor does twice a month. So I wanted to welcome them and appreciate them here tonight. And that's all I have.
That's why he's acting so different tonight.
Don't do that. He also dressed up a lot better, too.
What with the best behavior?
Councilperson Burson.
I just want to commend the Ferndale Downtown Association. The flags look awesome up and down Main Street.
They're not quite finished. They still have a lower bar.
When you see Rhonda, you know, thank her. She won't accept it. But Councilperson Goodrich?
As the council liaison, I'm to the Bellingham International Airport Advisory Committee. We met this past week, and there's an article in today's paper about the airport reducing. But a couple of things that I didn't read the whole article, but some things that were concerned to people is the noise, especially of the Allegiant MD-80s when they take off. Allegiant is changing their planes. And they're going to Airbuses, which will be more quieter when they depart. We only get the departures 10% of the time over Ferndale. The rest of the 90% of the time, they go out over the ocean. So it's those people that are more happy with that. I don't remember if the article said, but Alaska Airlines is cutting back their services here, too. Their Hawaii flight will become a seasonal flight. And the last ones will be in April. So if you want to go to Hawaii and fly direct from Bellingham, you have until April to do it. And then they're going to pull the aircraft because they can use the aircraft more efficiently someplace else. They said that they're only getting about 60% ridership on that Alaska flight. So it's
the Maui flight or the Honolulu flight or both?
Both.
Wow.
They're all getting out of the direct flights from Bellingham. And they're not sure. They're really worried about what's going to happen with the Canadian dollar. That they're thinking it may be more or less, ridership there. So those are some of the things that came out of that meeting.
Okay, so staff, finance director, our city administrator, public works director, special project manager, and executive wing furniture arranger. Do you have anything to report?
Nope. Still really? Working on my business cards.
Yeah, that's it. Spending too much time on that. Community Development Director?
March 23rd here, that's a Monday at 7 p.m., is the Ferndale Hearing Examiner's hearing for the Whatcom County Jail Conditional Use Permit. It's possible that the hearing may be extended to the next night, March 24th. We will be sending out notices. They should be arriving in people's mailboxes February 23rd, so a week from today. Also, just an update to council, and we will bring this up to committee moving forward. Last week, last Friday, we had a good all-staff meeting about low-impact development design for stormwater. This is something that Wendy is going to lead when she comes back, but when we talk about changing our development standards and our design standards and our zoning, that's going to be at the forefront of our consideration. So you might see in the interim that we won't be bringing as many different amendments to you because we want to include that in our discussion. That has to be done by December 31st, 2016. So, well, it seems like we're starting early. We're just about right on time with that.
Okay. When does Wendy come back?
I'm sorry?
When's Wendy come back?
April 1st. April
1st? I was going to say, really?
I haven't seen any pictures of the little critters.
We have. It's a very attractive child.
He's very adorable.
Is it on Facebook? Is it on the city page?
No.
He's using low-impact development, so he's just...
I don't usually put people's children on there unless they give me permission. So.
Yeah.
You look around. There's one floating around City Hall. So come in and ask. It's a very, very cute. Very cute child. Assistant City Administrator. Police Department.
Nothing.
You sounds like I did last week. Okay, so. We will now be entering into executive session pursuant RCW 43.30.110, subsection G and I. What did? 42. Okay. 42.30.110, subsection G and I. It's nice to have a assistant city administrator. The estimate the meeting will last approximately 20 minutes. Then we reconvene an open public meeting. Action is expected after the executive session. So we'll sign all high school students and then kick everybody else out.